Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Aramar Tefio on blogtalkradio.com. The views expressed here are not necessarily those of all hosts, guests, or producers, and the show is for a mature audience. Good evening and welcome to Feed Your Head. I'm Ra, Ruthanna Marte-Theo, and I am thrilled to have somebody on tonight who knows what I want in a place to live, in a community. John Kreidler from Irvine, Kentucky is here. Hi, John.
Hello, how you doing?
I am great. It's springtime, and I suppose because I'm in the Ileana part of Illinois, but you are in southeastern Kentucky.
Yeah, I'm in the beautiful Red Lick Valley outside of Berea, Kentucky.
Ah, do you have water nearby as far as the stream or river or something?
Yeah, we do have a stream at the bottom of the property. Most of the water is rainwater collection in cisterns and buffaloes at this point, though.
Wow. Wonderful.
We're building a lot of water features on the land, some ponds. And
yeah. Tell me, the Earth Tribe Trust, now you're a trustee, you bought up about 20-some acres a few years ago there, am I right?
Yes, ma'am.
And what prompted you to do that to begin with?
Well, at the very first, I was kind of like going towards the prepper end of things. I wanted a secure place for my family that was defensible, that was in a place that had a moderate climate, that had the most biodiversity you could get. Your standard things that a lot of people are worried about right now.
Sure.
You know, food security, defense. But the more I went along, the more I got into understanding, you know, what do they call that, when you're farming for your sustenance agriculture, that it's just, like, grueling, you know? It's like 12 hours a day work for the rest of your life, and I just don't think that life's supposed to be like that. And the more I got into studying communities and stuff like that, that there's a magic number. You get to about 15 people or more, and they work, and your workload goes down, and everybody just kind of benefits from the environment being improved, so I've just been trying to research ways to make that work with diverse groups instead of everybody all of one like mind.
Right. Because, well, I think that's when you get everybody in a community of, I've heard people say, because I'm pagan, I've heard a lot of different pagans say, oh, I want a pagan village. And I'm going, I don't. I don't want to live there. Because even though pagan is a diverse word, it's an umbrella word, still, most of these people were into one particular area, maybe, and they wanted everyone around them to be that way. And
exactly.
For me, that's not the way to grow.
No, not at all. Stagnation.
Yeah. So it's like diversity. This is where our strength lies. I mean, we have basic ideals as far as, you know, kindness is a good thing. We want to protect our land and our people. You know, we can have things like that. We don't have to agree on every little thing, and we can learn from each other. So I love that. I've seen some pictures. You are on Facebook, just as John Kreidler, also Earth Tribe Trust on Facebook. And you have a website, earthtribetrust.org. And
yeah, my internet and electronic presence isn't all that great. It's all done by volunteers. And I'm out in the woods most of the time without communication right now. So,
right.
A lot of it's behind.
That was what I asked you because I know there's not been a lot of activity on the website. And
yeah, communications has broke down. I'm only communicating with Africa about once a month. In Africa, we're up to like 20. We're about to add our 21st learning center. We've got a rather large sect of land on the border between Angola and Zambia. And we're going to put a permaculture, pretty much a learning village there.
Well, I wanted to ask you, how did you get interested in Zambia? How did this come about? Now, you visited there a few years ago.
Yes, ma'am. I've always been kind of like on the edge of this debate and you know, what's right and what's going on. And I got contacted by a nonprofit to come over there and work on sustainable housing and work with the moringa tree, which is an amazing tree. Moringa is just, it's incredible. It's really healing, really nutritious plant. And I got over there and I found that almost every 501c3 corporation is completely corrupt, that aid is what's killing Africa, not AIDS. And that the control is just, it's just immense over there. It's just crazy. It just kind of sunk me even deeper into this rabbit hole.
I think that was cool that you were contacted and invited to come over to begin with. But what you say about the 501c3s, I totally believe you. The more I've seen groups I know of, they can't wait to get a 501c3. And,
yeah, it's a trap.
You know, and I say, well, you know that the government, once you get that, they're going to have a lot more control over your endeavors. Oh, yeah, you know,
But they might get a tax break, and they might be able to get more donations. You know, it's a sellout. It's a way to co-opt all the people. It's controlled opposition. That way, anybody that gets into a position where they can do any good, once it reaches the point where it can do good, the government can easily step off and distract them or derail them or whatever it takes to get them into compliance.
Right. And I've known different it sounds like I'm picking on pagans, but it's not. To the groups I know, because I've been in the pagan world so long. Some small groups that they want a 501c3 because they think they'll be able to buy their...
They've got us all wanting our group to protect our way, and we need to say we're humans and we need to protect each other's way. You know, when we can agree that we're human first, and then we're male and female and lighter-skinned and darker-skinned and this religion or that religion or this hobby or that hobby, you know, we have to have the common ground to being humans and defending our right to be humans, because this corporate monstrosity, corporate personhood is killing us.
Exactly. But that's it, because so many people go ahead and feed into it. Like people I know that wanted to get 501c3s, it wasn't, I mean, now some thought that they might get larger amounts donated to them because the people wouldn't have to pay taxes. But also a lot of them just wanted to get their incense without paying tax on it, if you can imagine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, that's...
I mean, we're all damaged, greedy, programmed people that really don't know what, you know, like you were saying, finding our north. Well, you know, it's our compasses are spinning like mad. Who knows what north is half the time?
Well, that's
you know?
It, and that's what those of us who actually know what true north is, and we're trying to keep headed that way. It's quite interesting, but like you say, I mean, we're all human, and we all have myriads of faults. I mean, I don't want somebody just to say, "Boy, you know, you're so." It's my faults. I know I have them, but at least I'm trying to work on them.
It's not even a matter of working on them. It's just a matter of embracing them and acknowledging them. This is me. This is what makes me an individual. I'm an idiot. I'm an asshole, you know, but I mean well, and I try my best. But
that's
this is
it.
My flavor of who I am, you know? I have no filter. Yeah. I say whatever's on my mind bluntly, and that's just the way it is. And if you don't like that, then, you know, that's just me. I mean, you know,
well,
I take
a
lot of guts
lot
for it.
Or I shouldn't say easier, it's simpler that way. Sometimes it's not so easy. But, you know, like the people who tell the lies all the time and they forget who they tell what lie to. When you're just putting it out there, you're not going to run into that. So it makes it a lot simpler for you.
The hardest thing for me to get over was the self-deception, was the lying to myself.
All of us, I think. We're honest.
I mean, I've been purposefully working at this in the most extreme ways you could imagine for 8 years now, you know, probably longer. And I still find programming. I would argue to the death that Coke is better than Pepsi, and I don't even drink soda. What the fuck do I believe that for? I don't know. It's in my head. It's in my head like the difference between day and night. It's fundamental.
Yeah.
Coke is better than Pepsi, and I don't like either one.
I don't drink either. But I used to, when I did, I loved Coke, but not Pepsi. But I don't drink it for my own health, and I don't drink. I try not to support companies that support countries that I don't appreciate or approve of. And the support
I don't approve of corporate personhood, period. I believe they're people when they start executing some of the sons of guns.
Well, that's where I am the corporate consumer's worst nightmare kind of person, because aside from food for myself and my felines, I rarely buy anything actually that's new. You know, I've just been simplifying, getting rid of things, go, because the less you have to worry about, the more time you have for the things that are important, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, most definitely. But, I mean, it's hard to realize that when you're throwing, you know, everything at that empty hole that's manufactured in you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But there again, that's something that's learned. People sit and watch TV, and they believe what's on there, not just the news, but they believe commercials.
But, I mean, you know, it's hard. You got cognitive dissonance, and then you start waking up, and the first thing your family and friends do is they bash you back into place because, God, if you wake up, it'll expose their sleepiness.
I've heard that. I have not had that with my family. They just think I'm strange, okay? So... And, you know, a couple cousins tried the thing about their kids going off to fight for my freedom. And we don't talk about that anymore because I let them know they weren't fighting for my freedom. They're fighting to support the oil companies and other companies that are stealing natural resources. So we don't talk about that. You know, but there again, I don't spend a lot of time with my family. Because
that's social conditioning. Again, there's things we're not supposed to talk about religion either. Don't talk about religion and politics. Just grab your ankles and accept it.
but you know, John, no, the best things in the world to talk about, sex, religion, and politics.
Yeah.
I mean, and those are the things that we were always taught not to, but, I mean, that's what gets conversations going.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can talk about the weather and you can talk about antiques and you can talk about this and that. But then when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, those three are the ones, at least for me. So if you won't talk with me about some of those, well, I don't think we're going to talk too much then.
Yeah, right. That's the deal breaker there. That pretty much lets you know that they're not worth talking to.
Yeah. Well, it's like those posters you see on Facebook once in a while. It says, you know, if you go home with them, and you can't see his books, don't fuck him. Well, that's pretty much, You know, I mean, and I know that some people don't read a lot and they're still intelligent. However, where are they getting their news? From mainstream media or something?
But when really deep down, we all know what the problem is. When we start talking about poverty and hunger and homelessness in a place where we got 16 empty houses for every homeless person and warehouses of food for every hungry person, we know what the problems are, you know. But there's nowhere to experiment because you got regulations and code and, you know. What I'm trying to do is make a sandbox where we can play and just throw out what has to be and say, what if? Let's try and build this. Let's try and build that.
Right, because the Earth Tribe Trust is an experimental idea and the place. So it's a research center.
Yeah, research and learning, where we're all students and teachers simultaneously.
And so it's about learning ways to sustain the Earth and communities, to heal the Earth, all of these things that so many of us do. But it's... put it in a little different way than some of the communities we see now. Am I right?
Yeah.
So what would between just the regular...
breaking up. I need to go outside and get a little better signal or something.
Oh.
There we go. Okay, now I can hear you better.
Yeah. So what would be the difference you would say between the Tribe Trust in Irvine, Kentucky, and just a regular eco-village out somewhere?
Well, the two main differences is most intentional communities or eco-villages, they all want to focus on one flavor, one religion, one sexual orientation, one hairstyle, you know. and then another thing is that they're more, they want to get their little environment, like, as close to Eden, you know. They want to build their little perfection, and they kind of block out the world. And a lot of them, once they get established, they stop reaching out to people. And
yeah.
I think what we need is we need this to take off in such a viral way that it's available to so many people so fast is the only way to fix things. And to do that, we need places that have a leeway with code, a leeway with regulations. You know, we need research areas where we can get people that – you can't just take your kids and jump off grid. You know what I mean? It's just not – it's not feasible in this day and age. You need a place where you can see what they're doing with videos. Come and visit for a weekend. Come and check things out. You know, get your feet wet. Otherwise, you know, it's just going to continue where 80% of these communities fail and, you know, people completely lose everything trying, and then they have to go right back to Babylon.
Yeah. No, that's true, and I agree with you that it needs to be done rather rapidly now. We don't have, like, the 200 or 300 years, like, must have had in the past. Because
no,
we
really
don't,
and everybody says it's all expensive. You know, I've run this trust for the last 4 years, almost exclusively out of my own pocket, which is just a little bit of $700 disability money a month, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get 500 donors at $2 a month to run all the infrastructure for, you know, 21 learning centers globally. You know, this isn't something that's going to take thousands and thousands of dollars, you know.
Right.
And once it's up and running sustainably, it should support itself.
Well, that's true, because I would assume that solar and or wind would be a great deal of this, am I right?
What's that? I'm sorry.
Solar and or wind power alternative.
Wow, we're breaking up really bad again.
Okay. You're using alternative energy a lot, right?
Yeah, solar. I want to get some hydro going. We've got like 600-700 feet of fall on our property with water collection at the top. That could run hydro. That could run all kinds of things.
Okay. Right. So, no, you're right. Once you actually get set up, maintaining shouldn't cost much.
Right, exactly. And then the surplus would go to self-replicating more learning centers in other places, especially disadvantaged areas like Zambia.
Africa has 56 nations, and yeah, there's a lot of room
for. The way things are going right now, though, Zambia might actually be the one funding these learning centers in America. They're taking off 20 times more at about a tenth of the cost, and
really
starting to catch on over there.
I want to tell people go to earthtribetrust.org, and you can see pictures of Zambia, and also on. You can see pictures of Tiger Woods. Is the land?
Yeah, I have photos on Facebook and stuff too. And we'll be updating everything in the next few months as we get more volunteers online, just getting organized. And
yeah, what's the land like in Kentucky? I see that there's woods. Do you have
it's a 22-acre south-southwest facing mountainside. It's pretty steep. There's some flat areas and a lot of benches. But it really makes great for the food forest because they're planting berries and stuff high on hills and points, and then they seed themselves down. You know, I got it, the gravity-fed growing and harvesting of water and generating of electricity. And then the really bad erosion gullies, I want to work on putting drains in and making housing because they're already excavated, and once you build something in them, if the drainage is taken care of, then you've created a negative erosion spot, and now you have housing and water collection and food growing space. So you're getting three positives out of a negative.
Right.
And that's what's called.
And you can turn a negative into a positive. You're way ahead of the game.
Yeah. Well, it's just all about fighting entropy and keeping our resources in spin as much as possible. It's just so simple. It's just we're just, you know, confused by so many other things right now with the media and society and magical missing planes and, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, like you're taking the erosion and this and this, and did you hear in some kind of earth science? or something, or is this things that you've been interested in, so you've picked up the knowledge, or how did this come about?
It's just really been growing as permaculture has really taken root in my soul, and I learn more, and I get more in tune with the mountainside and what it needs and what it's asking for and what it's got to offer. Really, it's hard to explain in words, you know?
Yeah.
Hunting yellow root, you know, I was really never very good at finding it. I could stand in a patch and not see it until I ate a yellow root berry and kind of got in tune with the plant. And next thing you know, I see them everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
It's just getting an affinity and a relationship. You have to build a relationship. We want everything so fast, you know? We want it McDone right now. And just take time to settle in and learn things and feel systems. And you have to get a synergetic, you know, where you're giving as much as you're getting at least, you know?
Right. And it has to do with, I mean, being on the land long enough for seasons, because different things happen during the different seasons. And so you learn much as you go that way.
Yeah.
The mountain that you face, you say the mountain is to your south?
Sorry, it's south-facing, southwest-facing.
And now I'm hoping this is not some mountain that they're going to try to flatten the top of, right?
Oh, no. No. There's coal here, but it's not any good.
Oh, okay.
No mountaintop removal here. Plus, a trust is a little harder to get eminent domain on than a regular home situation.
Okay. So, now you said you were talking about building houses in these places that have been eroded to keep them from further eroding. What kind of housing do you have or are you looking to have?
Well, we were experimenting with Earthship's entire building, but due to the new information about some outgassing and stuff of the tires, I want to switch to feed sacks and rammed earth, but still do pretty much the same thing and, you know, work on domes that you can bury and...
Yeah.
You know, just different structures. We really want to do a little bit of everything. We want straw bale. We're going to build a straw bale up on the hill. We're going to do a couple of log cabins. We're going to do some underground housing. Just research, whatever we can try, you know. We're working on a thing right now where you take cement and old latex paint and mix them together and make a waterproof kind of ferro cement that you can embed into fabric and just weave onto a frame and literally have a waterproof impervious structure relatively quickly and easily, any shape you want.
Wow. Well, that sounds cool. Yeah, the earth bags, that's always, that fascinated me, more than the tires, because the tires, I guess that's worked, but like you say, maybe the off-gassing, and tires have always sort of scared me ever since years ago I read that you should never grow anything you're going to eat in the tires. You can grow flowers if you're not going to eat them. It's just to be pretty. You can grow them, but don't put any food items in tires. And I got in a fight with somebody recently about that. They said, well, the longer the tire's out there, you know, the safer it is, and yada, yada. And I'm like, who wants to take the chance?
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm going to start using them for retaining walls and terracing.
Maybe
flood control areas. But, I'd rather get them out of the food system and the living environments.
Yeah.
We are finishing the one tire foundation we have right now. My pictures are up on that. We're going to put a roof on it, and it'll probably be storage. We'll vent it real well and everything, but it might be an interesting thing if we can set something up and maybe check air quality and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the parts per million or anything on that, but it's an idea. It's research. It depends on who gets involved. A lot of students from Berea are trying to get involved, but, you know, transportation money and stuff for them is kind of an issue, so... We're really just restructuring and trying to go with, you know, whatever's going to work best for the organization and help the most people.
Right. Well, now, you, your address is Irvine, but how far out of town are you?
We're about 11 miles from Irvine, about 16 miles from Berea, which is a little bit bigger city. Berea's a big college town. Sustainability College. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah. And college towns always are, no matter what the size, they seem more metropolitan or something. They have more things going on and people with more open, inquisitive minds, I think, as a rule.
Yeah, even more so with Berea. Berea is like, you know, how Sarasota was, how Sedona was, how Asheville is kind of, you know, okay. It's, I think, on the cusp of really being the in spot for a while for aware people.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. What about the in the area, community sustained farming, agriculture, and CSAs and farmers markets and things? Do you have a lot of that? Is that something
everything.
That you?
Yeah. This is the mecca of everything that is really green and not just greenwashing, as far as Kentucky goes, right here in Berea.
Mm. So
the hills
would that
are just full of people foraging and you know really doing what needs to be done, you know.
With the foraging, yeah, I'd like to learn more about that. I did have a friend in Chicago who would take us on trips. You know, not trips, but just walks in the forest preserves and, you know, come back with a handful of things we make tea out of, or he'd take us off to get mushrooms and, you know, whatever he had, because he knew what he was doing. I wasn't afraid to eat or drink.
Yeah, right.
You know, that,
yeah,
that's
we have some fantastic foragers that come through and give classes. And yeah, it's
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's important because I think it's something a lot of people would like to do, like me, but it's like, man, I'm not going to go out there and get things for myself until somebody, you know, teaches me or shows me something.
Yeah, yeah, it's best to use field guides and to really study them and learn them first and to know what you're doing because they're look-alike mushrooms that even if you ate in an emergency room wouldn't help you, you know.
Right.
So you
right.
do want to be careful. But there are telltale signs in everything I've ever found, you know. There's
well,
hundreds of mushrooms that I eat growing
burning.
Around here.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, what kind of things now? You talked about the berries that have been self-seeding and all. What kind of things do you have growing on this 22 acres?
Well, we have sparse little bit of everything. This is the most biodiverse area outside of the rainforest here in the Appalachians, and we got pawpaws. We got all kinds of things. You know, I've been trying to plant some of the food forest stuff. Some down close to where we are at the bottom, starting right now working, and then some higher up on the hill. So that it'll feed the animals and self-seed itself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice thing to have gravity working for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. But you've got, berries and things that are already
yeah,
there.
Yeah, blueberries, blackberries. I mean, we have everything. Herbs, blue cohosh, ginseng, yellow root, you know.
Wow.
You name it, echinacea. I mean, this is
yeah.
the most diverse area, really. I mean, this is just... fantastic.
That's just wonderful. Why, have you ever done any of the like gathering of these things and gone and taken it to a farmer's market or to people who
no.
came to classes or anything?
No. I really mostly I just gather a bunch of stuff up and use it all for myself and making medicine for friends and
okay.
You know, I really am not into the marketing end of things. I hate it. It's one of the things I need help with is I'm so horrible with money, I just don't care about it. You know, I really don't. I spend it all in the first couple of days of the month, and then the rest of the month I work.
Oh, man. Okay, you need me because I am good at that. so I was going to say, but because that would be a way to make some extra money without – farming anything because we
mm-hmm.
know when you pick things you don't pick everything and you know you honor the plants
yeah.
and all that would be something
right.
that possibly
yeah and we have hundreds and hundreds of acres of foraging around us. I mean we have the Daniel Boone National Forest
okay.
and hundreds of acres behind us and so yeah we have all kind of wood products and you know forest products. I have walking sticks that I gather and you know it's just
yeah. Well now you're the trust is the 22 acres, but in the National Forest right next to you?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have any other areas right next to you that are owned by individuals or groups?
No. There's you know, individuals. There's Snug Hollers, a little bed and breakfast in the next holler over. I don't know. There's a farmer that owns the land behind us, and he just keeps it wooded.
So it's actually, you have a lot of privacy, too.
Yeah, actually, quite a bit, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If, what kind of, is there any kind of, I don't want to say visitor's center, but when people come to visit, is there anything, I mean, they bring their tents and
yeah, they bring
a little
tents
parking
and stuff.
Area.
We have a little cabin right now that's across from the property that we it's on an adjacent property that we're trying to figure a way to buy. It's got a cabin and a barn and a couple of fields on it, and it's access to the stream. But it's real rough right now. I mean, everything collapsed last year with the last community, and so it's really just, you know, like a phoenix starting on the ashes, you know, getting her going again. Been focusing back and forth like a ping pong ball between here and Africa, and I need some good, quality, skilled people to come here and be teachers because I'm leaving in October. I've got to get back to Zambia. So, I mean, this is the most wrapped up, ready-made life in a box you could get. I mean, somebody that's really into permaculture or natural building can come here and have their own school and just start. You know what I mean?
Right.
A couple of young people that really want to start a really good life, it's a perfect opportunity, you know?
Yeah. So how long are you going to be in Zambia?
I have no idea. I'd really like to get a circuit going where I travel around a few places at different times of the year so I can be back here for planting and harvest and in other places to help. It's really going to be up to the trust, and hopefully I'll get somebody that knows more than me running the trust so that I can go back to working because I am not good at administration.
Yeah. Well, now right there, you're so far ahead of so many people I know who just think that they're so good at everything. They aren't willing to allocate anything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so
I know my faults.
well, you know you're starting, and you know you're willing. And it takes some people a complete lifetime to figure that out. So I think you're way ahead right there. I wanted to ask you about spirituality, because people who are involved in things like this, I mean, of the earth,
mm-hmm.
are following some kind of a path, or at least they consider themselves spiritual. Where do you stand there, John?
You know, I can't understand myself. You know, I'm still learning me. So if there's some kind of superior creative force out there, the chances of me comprehending it other than in just like a lucid stoner movement or, you know, moment or anything really is pretty slim. So I just try to go with my heart and not my head a little bit more, and I'm just trying to live, you know what I mean? I spent years worrying about God and demons, and I just really don't have time. There's so many hungry people and houses to be built that's all I want to focus on, you know? I'll let the theologians worry about, you know, whether God's got an innie or an outie.
Yeah, I think it's so much like organized religion, but just to yourself. Like our connection with, like a supreme being, or not even a supreme being, but just our connection with the universe, kind of thing.
I don't know. I guess really we're all just phantoms in the mind of God, you know what I mean? We're like fish swimming in the ocean arguing about what water is.
Yeah. It's hard when we consider ourselves apart from it. It makes it harder, I think.
Right, yeah. I mean, either it's everything or it's nothing. And if it's everything, then, you know what I mean, it's everything. It's not really that complex to me. it used to be.
Well, if we're connected, then we're connected.
Yeah, everything. I mean, we're just neurons in the mind of God, really, you know, whatever you want to call it, creativity, life force, whatever. You have entropy and you have creation. And hopefully, you know, most of us are working for creation and not tricked into working for entropy, whatever you want to name it, you know.
Yeah, well, destruction. So have you traveled besides the communities in Zambia? What kind of communities have you traveled in here? Have you looked at a lot of them, or
I really have. I looked into quite a few, and that's what really got me really onto wanting to start something diverse for anybody because they all have such a specific flavor. I didn't fit into any of them.
Mm-hmm. No, that's. Yeah, I've seen that. Like we were talking earlier, you know, either it's your religion or your views on anything, but you have to have certain commonalities that might be a little much for some of us.
It's so complex, and I don't understand what our problem is. We're all going up a mountain, and we're all on different sides, so there's no way that I can tell you to walk my path because you're on the other side. You know?
And
but as long
funny.
As we're all heading up, we should be able to support each other.
Yeah, but that's my whole thing. Like, we're all going to get to the top of the mountain. And, you know, we're on different paths, and sometimes they're going to cross. And we may actually walk down a little bit to get up a different way or whatever. We're all on that mountain, so I agree. What kind of events have you, events or classes or mini-fests or whatever have you done on the land you've had it?
We've had food foraging classes. We've had some tire ramming classes, some earth bag classes. A couple tincture classes. Really, you know, just a little test in the water here and there. We really want to get into more canning and stuff, but we got to get a big kitchen built. It's kind of hard to do a lot of that outside.
Right. No, yeah. Kitchen's a good thing. Well, now the people who come to the class, are they students from the nearby colleges, or are they people who live there?
It's a little bit of everything. I mean, I've had, you know, single moms from Pennsylvania and couples from Florida, and, you know, it's really a crazy eclectic mix of people that come here. So that's really what I've been aiming for, and it's really finally starting to happen.
Right, that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you advertise?
You know, I mean, a lot of people want to come here and want me to give them an experience. And really what we need to move more towards is this place coming, whoever comes here, being the experience and interacting, you know. Because if it just all relies on John, then it's all for nothing. Because John's going to leave, and then it'll all just stop. And I don't want that. It's got to really reach critical mass. We need some seriously skilled people to come in here and experiment with culture, with society, with communication, with living, with building, with growing, you know. There's no other place that I know of on Earth where you could have so much freedom to come in and really do something meaningful. And right now we have a lot of people coming in that want to learn, but not a lot of teachers, not a lot of skill. And we really need a few more people with skill to come in here and really throw some weight to the mix.
Yeah. Right, because, I mean, it's great to have people who want to be taught, who want to work, but there's got to be some things for them to hold on to.
The analogy I always use is like it feels like I'm building a hospital, and I'm trying to get the foundation laid, and all these patients show up.
Okay.
And they want to know where to go. And I'm just building the foundation. We haven't got doctors here yet. You know what I mean? I'm just kind of the crazy janitor, groundskeeper. You know, trying to get it going.
But that's a good analogy. You need the foundation. And in the meantime, then people come, well, you can give them shots maybe, but you can't operate.
Right.
So there you are. Tell me, the surrounding people then, now you said you've got a bed and breakfast and a farmer, but not a lot of close neighbors because of the National Forest and everything.
Just on the one side, just on the way out the road. There's nobody in the holler past us at all.
Okay. So I suppose that they haven't given you much trouble. What about the surrounding communities then? Have you ever had any kind of trouble from them?
You know, when I first started, there were a few little things. Like, you know, they were upset about me gathering tires and stuff like that. But really, it's been an amazing journey. My first couple years here, I walked 11 miles to town and back because I don't drive. And just over the time, now if one of my volunteers walks out of here to go to the store, somebody picks him up and gives him a ride within, you know, a few feet. It's changed. They never picked up hitchhikers here before, and now people they're getting involved. I have people, neighbors, that just come in, and I don't even know that they just heard about what we're doing, and they'll drop off a box of blankets or some food, you know. So this year, it's really, I think I was just like way too early. This year, there's been more activity probably popping up in the last 2 weeks than the whole last 4 years combined.
Wow. It's
so
wonderful.
You know, I guess I was just getting ready.
The time has come.
It is.
This year, 2014, is supposed to see so many changes in ways that we didn't expect. And I just think it's going to be a marvelous year. I mean, it has been so far. Where I am, it's been a little colder than normal maybe, but at least the winter was. But, yeah, it's I think things are looking good, and people are waking up, and that's what you're seeing. You're seeing people who went ding in their head, and so they're interested. which
just get involved. We got them interested. Now we just need to get them involved.
Yeah. So what's that formula? Or are you still working on that?
I'm making all the mistakes first. That's what I'm good at. I'll make the mistakes, and then somebody else will come in and say, no, idiot, it's how it's like this, you know?
Well, we need the mistakes because...
Yeah, we do, and I learn more from a mistake than a success every time. I walk around with a big head on a success saying, look what I did, you know? That's what you learn from.
Well, that's it. We've got to learn because we're going to make mistakes no matter what. So, like, get the mistakes out of the way. I personally found that I keep making them, but at least they're different ones, okay?
Yeah, exactly.
So I do learn from my mistakes, but it doesn't mean I'll never make them. So they're just going to be different, and that's okay.
Well, and the thing about me is I make mine so publicly. So it's not just me learning from them, hopefully, you know, because I put it all out there. I mean, the trust has taken a lot of slack because a lot of things have been sloppy and done wrong. But, I mean, it's a disorganization, and it's not supposed to be perfect. And if there's something somebody doesn't like about it, then they need to come in here and help fix it instead of just standing outside and critiquing it. Because it's just an experiment, and it's just as good as the people that get involved, you know? So, I mean, anybody that really feels strongly about this and thinks it needs to be done a different way, well, they need to start walking the walk, you know? And right here's a sandbox for them to play in.
Exactly. I mean, it's very, very easy in any part of life to stand on the outside and criticize.
Yeah.
That's very easy. And, you know, I mean, we usually welcome kind criticism, critiques, not criticism, but critiques. I mean, yeah, but like you say, if you've got a better way of doing it, well, tell me at least. I mean, even if you can't get in and spend all your time doing it, tell me, help me, and I'll try
it. Yeah, no, I'd say, you know, it's getting much better now, but about 90% of my communication was just really horrible, ignorant people for a long time, you know.
Oh.
Making racist comments about helping people in Africa when American people need it, and you know, and I tell them the same thing. You know, here I am in America. Where are you? You're not helping. You know, this thing is blowing up in Zambia. The Zambians are doing it for themselves. I haven't been able to get them funding. I've only been able to send them a few laptops. You know, I can't get them hardly any permaculture information in there because I don't have any help. I have a bunch of people standing around saying, you're not doing it right. But you know what I mean? In the time they do that with a $2 donation from 500 people, the whole infrastructure's done, and boom, computers are going, communication's back up, transportation's going.
Yeah. No, it's funny how, well, at least in this country, and I think a lot of the countries of the world, people were taught this nationalistic thing. And start thinking of ourselves now as internationalists. For some people, that's pretty hard.
Yeah, it is. I get it all the time, man. People are like, America! I'm like, how about humanity? How about Earth?
It's not. And there again, I think one of the things I was taught inadvertently, I mean, nobody said it to me, but I just had that feeling, well, you know, America, right or wrong, right? And it's like, God. Oh, particularly,
they don't have to say it. It's ingrained in us.
Yeah, but America's really wrong nowadays. And so,
this is the problem. Everybody wants to get out there and fix the system, and the system ain't broke. That's a trap to catch people that want to fix the system.
I think the system pretty much sucks myself.
Yeah, we got to build something outside the system. There's no fixing
exactly.
it because it isn't broke. It's made to catch us.
It needs to be...
We're an agricultural product. That's all we are to them. We're an agricultural product.
There you go.
It's time to go fucking feral.
we need to get back to the communities. And I think what you're doing is great. I do want to visit because it sounds so much like myself. Because I've been looking for... I want to live out and be able to walk out my door and have whatever growing or just take off and pick berries kind of thing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I want. And at the same time, I want a bunch of people around me that want the same things, you know, but not in the same way. I don't want a bunch of Johns, you know.
Exactly.
I want diversity. I want interesting people all living towards the same goals, you know.
Yeah, and teaching classes
Supporting our individuality. And no leaders. I want a guild system. You know, if we're doing compost today, let's let the best composter do it. If we're doing baking today, let's let the best baker do it. Because if you get them mixed up, you know, your bread tastes like crap and your compost is yeasty.
Right, your bread tastes like compost and the compost has dough. So
yeah, I mean, you know, let's let people rise to their occasion and do what they're good at and have a different leader for every moment, for everything that's going on. You know?
Right, and that doesn't...
I mean, who wants a man in there teaching, you know, midwifery? You know, it should be a midwife. you know,
it doesn't, because this is the way we grow and learn too. So if you are an excellent composter, that doesn't mean you can't come in and bake, but at least for a while, let the person who knows what they're doing show you.
Exactly.
The more skills, and there, that keeps people from being, I don't like the word bored at all, but when people know that they can do something else and learn and contribute to the community in all these different ways, I mean, then everybody's empowered.
Yeah. I mean, that's what this is all about, empowering people. I mean, there's no more excuses. You know, anybody that doesn't like the system, that wants to try and work out something, here's a sandbox, come and play.
Exactly. Because, it's not broken. The whole thing about, you know, a Band-Aid on the system isn't going to help.
No,
so,
never. It's just, there's a traps, man. You know, here, come and try and fix this. And there's a snare there, and they'll catch you up in a 501c3 or with some regulation or some finer condition.
Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind, explain to us then how a trust, because I don't know that much about trust.
That's the crazy part. Boy, trust is kind of scary, so a lot of people don't get into them. If you go to the IRS and you try to talk to them about a trust, they don't have a number for the trust division. They will call you. You know what I mean? They don't teach trust law to lawyers. You have to go to a special school to learn trust law. I couldn't find out anything. I called lawyers all over the country, all over the world, and they all gave me the same price and said a 23 to 26 page document. So what I did was I got all the trust documents that I could get. And I broke them apart, and I studied the language with Black's Law Dictionary, and I studied what they were trying to do with their trust document. And then I started breaking it down to what things made the trust document strong and what things made the trust document weak. And some of the stuff I'm not really sure about. My old trust from years ago is kind of juvenile. You know, we're going to rewrite a new one as soon as we have, you know, a full board together again. But it stands because it's common law, so it's your intent. If you make your intent clear in the paperwork, that's all you need, you know. So it's a legal contractual document. So I just outlined everything, you know. The trustees are Fourth Amendment citizens. They're not 14th Amendment citizens. And, you know, I backed everything up with the law. So if it's ever called into court, you know what I mean, and the trust is in question and they enter it into evidence, then all the law that I need is incorporated into the trust. So they cannot kick it out of the evidence. Do you know what I'm saying?
Ah, okay.
I put a poison pill in the trust for the courts. So if the courts admit the trust to evidence, they're admitting into evidence all the things that support the trust law. So they can't exclude them, because courts love to say, that's not admissible. Well, if we're having any kind of trial about the trust document has to be admissible. And if all the laws that support it are outlined in it, they can't exclude them.
Okay,
you know?
Smart, yeah. But, okay, so... So this is called just Earth Tribe Trust.
Yes, ma'am.
And, I mean, do you have any sign down at the road where you turn in, or?
No, not really, not yet, man. But if somebody wants to come and make one, they're more than welcome to.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
We've been kind of underground for most of the time, but I think that's about to end. We really have so many people starting to come and help that it's about to blow up. I just really want the right people. You know, last year turned into a rainbow gathering that turned really quickly into just a party, and there's still diapers hanging in the woods. You know, I really, really would like to see this take off. It's my gift to people here. Come and take it, you know, because I got to go.
But, well, and like you said, I mean, you want to come back at certain times, but you want to...
Yeah, I'd like to come back and have things still be there. The last time I came back from Africa, all the trailers and campers and building tools and equipment and supplies were all gone, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad hit. That's what really put us back so bad is just, I mean, you know, I come back from Africa ready to build and everything was gone.
Oh. How long were you in Africa then?
6.5 months.
Okay, well, that was
But it only took 2 weeks. It only took 2 weeks for the stuff to go.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of those things that there's always people, and no matter what you're doing in life, you run into the people who are honest and who will just whatever.
Well, it's not even so much dishonesty. I mean, there's nothing here. The tobacco industry is pulled out. This is like one of the highest counties in the country for food stamps. You know,
wow.
I mean, poverty here in Appalachia is. There's conditions here. There's kids with malnutrition. I mean, it's not much different than Zambia. You know.
Well, I think.
So,
the,
I mean, I don't
Appalachia.
Blame people. It's just a matter of educating people that there's another way. You know what I mean? And I've been working on that. I got a lot of ginseng diggers that are now putting berries out and not just exclusively, you know, wiping it out. And they're putting
right.
mushrooms and onion sacks and shaking spores. It's just, you know, it's baby steps. We can't wait till we get it perfect because it'll be too late. We got to get in there now, get
exactly.
dirty, make mistakes,
exactly.
and then fix our mistakes. Because if we wait till it's perfect, we're not going to have a chance.
No, and if you're going for perfect, it pretty much paralyzes you. I think
it does. It does, and that's what everybody's paralyzed. They don't want to make a mistake. God, I'll
yeah.
get penalized. Somebody will yell at me.
Yeah,
you know, make some fucking mistakes.
Like, go ahead. At least you're moving. You're not stagnating. You're trying.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's but no, Appalachia has always in this country been pretty poor. I mean, I'm generalizing, but pretty poor area, I think.
Yeah, and it's made that way. It's just like Zambia. I mean, come on, it's the most diverse place in the world. People here should be living in Eden. The only reason
yeah.
it's so poor is because everything is you know, turned upside down.
Yeah. Yeah, and
you've got incentives to get on welfare and do nothing, and you know what I mean. They get you hooked on pain pills, and I mean, it's
yeah.
This area has been devastated, you know.
But that's
and
well,
it,
you know, that's the way it is in cities, in the urban jungles, the ghettos, the food deserts. There's just absolutely nothing there, and then they wonder why people turn to a quote unquote a life of crime.
Oh no, they don't wonder. They know exactly why people do that. That's all by
yeah.
design. None of this is accidental, you know.
No,
this
I agree.
Stuff is implemented years in advance,
yeah.
and they know way ahead with modeling and everything else what's going to happen, and they adjust it to suit. And there's nothing accidental going on here.
No.
I don't
because
think so, man. I think they have too much control. But I think they're getting scared because people are waking up so fast right now.
That's
our window.
That's what's happened. They weren't expecting that. And
no, they weren't expecting it at all, I don't think.
No. And so now that's why you see so many freedoms being taken away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they were planning on doing that, but maybe not as rapidly as they are because it's taken
them
by
No. Now, they turned the water up too fast, and the frogs are jumping out of the pot, and they don't know what to do.
Oh, yeah. So this is good. You know, like, whatever we're doing, like, we need to keep doing it and get more people doing it.
Yeah, no, for years I felt like I was fighting a hopeless battle, but it's the only battle to fight, and I'd rather go out on the losing team that's right than the winning team that's wrong. But I don't think
yeah.
we're the losing team anymore. I think that's
not
what they want us to think, but I think we're right on the brink of a whole new existence, man.
I agree. And this is maybe the violent thing, but it has been attributed to Shea, but I don't know if he really was the one that said it, but I'm sure you've seen or heard the phrase, you know, I'd rather die on my feet than live on my knees.
Yeah,
but look at
Iceland, man. There's no dying involved. There's
no,
there's no violence. We're not going to do this through revolution. We're going to do it through evolution. You know, we need to gather up our bankers and our politicians and put them in a nice safe cage where they can't hurt anybody and give them a fucking time out until they straighten up.
Yeah, but no, that's what I said. I didn't mean the violent part, but just to think
yeah.
that no matter what, you know, you're going to do the right thing.
Yeah,
and,
exactly. What else is there? I mean, you know, mom's being murdered and raped. We're not going to join the other team just because we're outnumbered.
Right. Well, you can't because really, once you know, if you ever go back, I mean, you can't truly go back, but if you ever think, oh, this is just too hard, I'm going to go back to being ignorant, you have totally harmed your soul, whether you even believe in
the
soul.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You have
totally
harmed your
And I've seen so many people failing and doing that, and that's because there's no safety net. There's no place to experiment. You know how many families are trying to go off-grid, and the next thing you know, man, they're in worse conditions than they started in, man.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happening to most people. It's why people aren't just leaping off, you know, because there's no safe place to land. There's no transition. It's either this or that with no middle ground. I'm trying to build a middle ground.
Well, now what did you say that you think, like, that the land right where you are, the 22 acres, could hold about how many people, how many on-site residents?
Oh, man, it's ridiculous. It really is. We could building airships and stacking things up this mountain, we could put 500 people here probably without anybody even knowing they had neighbors. You know, the only thing showing would be windows out the mountain. It'd be gardens on your roof and ponds in front of your windows. And,
that sounds wonderful.
You know, I mean, Sepp Holzer can grow lemon trees in the Swiss Alps at 6,500 feet. We should be experimenting with growing moringas and lemons. I mean, this is Kentucky, man. We should be able to grow anything here with the right microenvironments.
I've got to check out that. What's that tree from Zambia? Morangos?
Moringa, yeah. It's also called the horseradish tree. Moringa oleifera. It is amazing. It's probably the second most amazing plant on earth.
Wow. Okay. Well,
the first one's illegal, we really need that second one.
Well, there you go. It's, you know, nothing wrong with number two if you can't get number. I'm speaking with John Kreiser tonight. This is wonderful. He is on Facebook. His last name is K-R-E-I-D-L-E. It's Kreiser. And
L-E-R.
It is L-E-R. I just thought, oh, wait a minute, it is Kreiser. I said it right. And at Earth Tribe Trust on Facebook also earthtribetrust.org. And you can see pictures of Kentucky and Zombie from both of these. I think that there's so much good you're doing. And I love what, you have an expression somewhere I read that you said, like, you're re-engineering what the masses have been taught. And I love that phrase.
I mean, I think that's our job, is to be a T-cell in the body, you know, of the world.
Yeah.
And just to try and turn people back to a creative polarity instead of an entropy polarity, you know.
I agree.
We all have our different words for it, but I mean the feeling's the same.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
We got to unfuck the world remediately. That's what I like to say.
There you go. Unfuck the world. I like that. I like that phrase a lot, too. So
remediately, too. Yeah, I like the remediately.
John, thank you so much, and I hope
thank
that you'll come back and keep us
anytime
up with what's happening.
And I hope you'll stop in sometime. I really look forward to your energy coming to the farm.
Plan on it, because, I'm getting very good feelings. So thank you so much, and just have a lovely, weekend. Yeah, it's
all right,
weekend.
You too. And thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
Okay, bye-bye.